Welcome back to Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
And this is Jeff Fallis for Wednesday, November 5th, 2008. Welcome.
Oh, Jeffrey, we've been gone from Fantasy Football Land for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I know.
Welcome back.
Well, we've been together the whole time.
Yes, we have been. I'm telling
you. To the people.
The people. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
To Fantasy Football
we
Rants
missed
and Raves.
We missed you. I see you, Johnny. I see you, Billy.
And we've
I
missed see you, Timmy. What I've missed. I missed just chatting with Naz, so we're going to have Naz
totally
come up
that.
And get some information. Lots of craziness going on in the NFL. We're going to talk to him about running back Steven Jackson and the return of Dante Culpepper.
I'm not dead yet. I'm not dead yet.
That's right.
I need to call the doctor because I'm not yet dead.
So we'll get to him in just a moment.
Championships.
Bringing fantasy football to the world. It's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. Jeffrey, I just like saying that name, Dante Culpepper.
Well, of course you do. It brings back the glory years of he and Randy Moss lighting up the Metrodome and for just gajillions of points and spectacular plays. I mean, those were some great times
yes,
in Minnesota.
Great times. So, well, I'll let you do it because you didn't do the intro of the mastermind himself.
All right. We welcome back to the program after a few weeks off, and he took the week off before that because he needed to, and because as we get later into the season, it gets crazier and crazier around here.
And so, he's still mass-producing tons and tons of information.
Oh, my God, yes. No, this every single... I waited for the hour last night, Michael, but we haven't introduced you yet, even though you're there.
Well, then let's introduce him.
Okay, well, fine.
The mastermind.
Michael Nazarek from Fantasy Football Mastermind.
So, Mike, I was sitting there waiting for the what's the Tuesday thing? Come on, what's the thing?
Part one of the newsletter, guys. And by the way, welcome back home. You were sorely missed over there in London. I hope you had a great time. We'll talk a little bit about that. But, yeah, we've been working nonstop here. It's a short week. You know, Thursday night game, got to get everything done in a hurry and get it out. In fact, I've got to finish part two after the podcast tonight. So the work never ends.
No, but what I'm specifically talking about is my favorite part, which is the Tuesday night where you just have you got to pick up these guys and it's
the market.
Yeah, the market, dude, yeah. I was just camping on the market yesterday because I've really only got five teams still left. I mathematically eliminated in about four of them.
No,
one of them,
already?
Out. Yeah, it sucks. You know, and it's just, look, that's just the way it is. It's been a rough season for fantasy footballers.
That kind of hurts a little.
It does.
I got 15 teams and only one of them is out.
I'm frankly embarrassed. I there's no way around that.
Do you
but
need
I've,
a hug?
I've never, I don't need a hug.
Because I was going to ask Naz to give it to you. I wasn't going to give you one.
I appreciate that. All right. And it's hard to give a hug from Henderson, Nevada. And besides that, I don't know that Mike wants to hug me. Mike doesn't look like the type that's a Jeff
hug
hugger.
Here.
Yeah, there you go.
You give me a hug over the air.
Yeah, it's an over the air hug.
Would Marcia give me a hug?
No.
Yes, she would.
No.
She'd give you a hug.
She's a very sweet person, and Marcia would give
me
a hug.
She was very nice. But Naz, are you ready? We're going to go through this. Lots of stuff since we've been away.
Can we talk about how stupid the Oakland Raiders are? Please?
Well,
that's so much fun.
Well,
there's nothing that brings me greater
irrelevant.
Joy.
I am today going on the limb. I am flicking the entire Oakland Raider team. Don't even think about playing anybody from that team.
Yeah, that was so much fun today. Today, whom did they release?
D'Angelo Hall.
D'Angelo Hall.
After eight games, and they paid him $8.9 million, and they gave a third-round draft pick for him.
That's right.
They cut him.
But that just
more than a million a game. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I tell you, I'd take that
money.
I wouldn't work another day in my life. I don't know why he wants to sign with another team, although he did say he's going to take his time.
Yeah,
well, trust me. When you've got $8 million in the bank and you've only played 8 weeks,
you got
I would
you
take
need.
My time, too.
It might, you know, I might take past training camp next year.
Oh, man, that was just... That
you
was...
know why they cut him now is because he added into his contract that if he gets injured, he gets all this, all the money for this year and next year.
Right.
So they didn't want to risk him getting injured, and then he'd be on the hook for like $16 million more. So that's why they cut him now when he was actually healthy.
Yes, what I, was, I love ESPN.com on their NFL homepage. They have a picture of they're giving out midterm grades. Which is funny, kind of coincides with reality for a lot of the young people out there in fantasy football land.
Yes.
Because they just finished midterms or just in the middle of them. My son just finished. And they've got a dunce cap on Al Davis in this caricature. And you've got Ocho Cinco with his F.
Oh, yes.
You got Brett Favre with the B. And then you got Tom Brady on crutches going to see the nurse. He just got a permission slip.
He has a pass to the nurse.
It's a really good cartoon.
And Jeff Fisher's holding. He's like the teacher. He's got an apple.
He's got the apple. He's sucking up to John Clayton.
I think. Yes.
He's saying, you know, I'm so good that I figured the formula out, and that's to give the teacher an apple. I didn't even recognize that was Jeff Fisher. It looks like Snidely Whiplash.
Doesn't it?
Of the old cartoons.
I'm going to be interested in reading what. What
John Clayton's
right there, but
has to say.
But as far as fantasy football is concerned, this guy has been your guy, Naz. It has been your guy, Steven Jackson, running back of the St. Louis Rams. We know that he's been your guy this year. Talk to him about what's going on with the squad.
Well, I tell you, it's he started slow the course of the year, then he picked it up. He had the big game against the Cowboys, but then he left the game play early than the coach wanted him to because he hurt his quad there, and he sat out a game, and it looked like he was going to be coming back last week, and the guy gets into the huddle. He announces it on his website, first of all, Saturday night, and I'm sure the Rams really appreciated that, saying, Steven Jackson's okay, good to go, ready to go. We're going to for this big game against the Cardinals, and everyone got excited, and of course, myself, I put him in all five or six of my lineups that I have him on like five teams. He gets in the huddle, and before the first play, they call the first play, and it calls for a cutback. And he tells Bulger, he goes, I don't think we should run that play. I don't think I'm ready because I might like strain my quad again. And so he like shuttles himself out of the game. And Antonio Pittman comes in and runs for 9 yards and that. Then he comes back into the game, and he only gains 17 yards on, like, seven carries. He drops a couple of passes right in his hands, and then they basically bench him for the rest of the game. It's not a pretty sight.
Yeah.
Basically, Jim Haslett's had it up to here with Steven Jackson's opinion about whether he's going to play or not. He said, listen, we're not going to mess around here. Probably going to end up sitting most of this week here, and I bet you Friday what's going to happen is he's going to say, you ready to go? If you're going to practice the full day with no issues at all, then he'll play. But I think, unfortunately, for most people, probably what's going to happen, and he's going to say, Coach, I'm not ready to practice. And then if he doesn't, he'll probably end up not practicing. Now, it's a away game. They're going up to New York in the Meadowlands to play Brett Favre and the Jets. So don't be surprised if, you know, come Saturday morning, we all find out that Steven Jackson didn't make the plane ride. And at least you'll know to pull him out of your lineup. And what's even worse for the team is that Antonio Pittman pulled a hamstring in that game. He also re-hurt his leg there, and so he's definitely out for this week. Travis Minor is the other pass-catching back on that team. He got hit and got a concussion. He failed the concussion test yesterday with the doctor, so unless he passes it on Friday, he's not going to play. So what the team did is that they promoted Kenneth Darby, who is a former Alabama Crimson Tide running back, nondescript. I mean, he'll play hard for you, but he's not very talented. He's not Sean Alexander, you know, another former Tider. And they also signed veteran Sam Congatto off the scrap heap yesterday. And so basically, Haslett said
everybody. Dr. Gatto's back from surgery?
Yep, that's right. they said that Steven Jackson, if he's not going to play, Kenneth Darby's going to start, Gatto's going to back him up, and maybe Minor might play if he passes his test. And that's not very good for fantasy owners all over the place. So pick up Kenneth Darby if you can, and sit him and wait, and cross your fingers and hope that Steven Jackson practices.
Steven Jackson officially gets
Boob of the Day.
Yeah, Boob of the Day. Congratulations to Steven Jackson.
He really hurt a lot of people last week.
Yeah, he took people down with him. I mean, that's the thing that makes you ultimate boob of the day is when you drag people down in the dirt.
Especially
with you.
Especially fast, you know, fast football, because you can wait till the last second
to
start or sit someone. And
But when they tell you an hour before that he's good to go, then you start him.
Right.
And I don't understand why he didn't tell Haslam, you know, when he was warming up prior to the game that
I don't feel right.
Hey, I'm not ready to go. but he did after the right before the first play, and by that time they'd screwed up the entire game plan.
Yeah. All right, Steven Jackson, what a boob. Let's talk about the Detroit Lions and their signing of quarterback Dante Culpepper. Is he ready to start?
Well, he better be, because Dan Orlovsky sprained his thumb. Now, it's interesting. He sprained a thumb very early in the game last week, but they kept it iced at halftime, and he was, you know, kept throwing the passes, and so he played the entire game. And of course, after the game, he's like, "Well, I think I can play," whatever. Well, of course, it's since swelled up, and now he went to New York to see a doctor to see exactly, you know, how bad the damage is. Meanwhile, Culpepper was officially signed to a 2-year deal. He's got some interesting incentives in that deal. He, by the way, you know, Dante's his own agent, and I think this is one of the reasons why he's kind of had trouble signing with teams, because, you know, he wants to put in interesting clauses. And one of them here is that he gets an extra $1 million if he plays 5% of the snaps. So I think that's almost guaranteed here.
Definitely.
Especially if he starts this game, this week's game. Now, he took probably about 55-60% of the snaps today. The rookie, Drew Stanton. That took the other part of the snaps. But they're getting him ready. They're force feeding him the play ball. But now they run the type of offense that used to be what the Vikings ran when Dante was there with Randy Moss, and you got Calvin Johnson. That's kind of like a Randy Moss almost clone there. So they're kind of hoping that, you know, if he can just get the ball in the area of Calvin Johnson, Calvin can make the catches, and they can be semi-productive, you know, this weekend and go from there. So but it looks like you're going to see Dante Culpepper.
But we're going to advise people to stay away from Dante right now, right?
Yeah, I got him way down on my list in the bottom tier, because it's kind of like a, you know, grab him. If you got room for a third quarterback and one of them is hurt, or maybe you got Orlovsky on your team, you know, might as well switch him out and grab Culpepper, stash him on the bench, and see what happens, because you never know. I mean, Calvin Johnson's a freak of nature, so,
right.
I mean, they could end up, you know, developing quick chemistry here and then, you know, go from there. And who knows, come week 12, 13, 14, you know, you might actually be starting Culpepper if your usual starter gets injured.
All right, Jeffrey, what?
So, no, I was just wanting, I wanted to make sure that you guys knew how Orlovsky got hurt.
He ran out the back of the end zone again?
Well, no, he was running parallel with the back of the end zone, and he accidentally high-fived somebody.
Ah.
A fan was reaching over, and he high-fived him, and he jammed his thumb.
There you go.
That's how he got hurt.
Oh, or lost.
So,
You
know what? Oh, we got a London story to tell you. We got a London story to tell you, Naz.
Quick London story.
Okay, well, we will. We'll keep it quick. Yeah. But we had a trivia contest at our listener gathering where there was, like, I don't know, about 85 people at a pub, and it was really fun. And we had a trivia contest, and to test the real knowledge of the UK football fans, we asked a trick question of how long is an American football field? And, of course, the answer is 120 yards. And we had our share of 100-yard answers, you know, and things like that. And then somebody shouted out, "Unless you're Dan Orlovsky, in which case it's 122 yards.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
That's a real NFL fan there.
It was. They're brilliant over there. They know the game so well. The people that follow it know it intimately.
Yes.
Unfortunately, there's only a handful of them, but it's growing. So, there you go.
All right, more quarterback news.
We got Brady Quinn starting this
yes.
tomorrow night.
Dreck is out. Dreck is out, and Brady Quinn is in.
Your thoughts, Michael?
Yeah, I think that what they did here, basically, is you know, what the fans in Cleveland want, they get sometimes. And on a national game, when they really hadn't been featured in such a long time, and it's a home game too, and really a lot of this is not really Drek's fault, because Braylon Edwards has caught, he's dropped 12 passes this year, and he dropped a sure touchdown this past weekend. And they're just, I mean, it just wasn't going right.
They're just
bad. And
so
they felt that, you know, that at the end of the game, the fans started cheering, Brady, Brady, Brady. So they're going to get Brady, and I bet they're hoping it's going to be Tom Brady, like performance. But I don't know quite what they're going to get here, but the kid should be prepared. He's talented. He's waited long enough for this opportunity.
Hopefully,
Braylon Edwards can actually hold on to a few passes away. Winslow's back. He caught 5 passes for 64 yards. It looked pretty good last week. And Dante Stallworth also is probable to play in this game with his quad injury. So he might actually have a full complement. And the Broncos' pass defense without Champ Bailey is nothing. So who knows? We might see a 2 or 3 touchdown game out here at Brady Quinn.
And their run defense is good?
No.
Okay, well,
Lewis is going to be running up and down the field too. So
okay, well, you called out the pass. You called out the pass defense as being
mostly
bad.
Because Champ's going to be.
I was just pointing out that
the entire defense is bad for the Denver Broncos.
Thank you. That's all I was trying
this
to point out.
This game should be 35-32. I don't know who's going to win, but it should be very interesting.
Steven and I both have Cleveland tomorrow.
Yeah,
we're on the record, even with Brady Quinn. It's like, look, if you can't stop someone's offense, no matter how inept they are, and Denver truly, I mean, we have not seen a defense this bad in a long time. And they are a complete car wreck.
All right, let's move to Houston, where the Houston Texans are playing a little game of New England Patriots Bill Belichick here. We're not quite telling you what's going on with Matt Schaub's knee.
Secrets.
Can you give us some information?
Well, my sources say it's a torn MCL, and that's out 3 to 4 weeks.
Wow.
And so Sade Rosenfeld is going to start. He is not much of a downgrade, if any at all, from Schaub. He works really well with Andre Johnson, Kevin Walter, and Owen Daniels. Owen Daniels caught 11 passes for 130 yards last week. And, in fact, Rosenfeld came off the bench cold and against the Vikings defense on the road, threw for over 200 yards and 2 scores. So, the Baltimore stops the run well, but they have trouble against the pass. Pennington took advantage of that a couple weeks ago. And so Rosenfeld's a pretty good play here for people that need a quick fix. Pick him up and don't hesitate to start him.
Speaking of didn't mix it up too badly, Ben Roethlisberger going down. And then in came Byron Leftwich, who, boy, they didn't seem to miss a stride at all. What do you got there?
Yeah, Byron still got that rocket arm. He just
takes a
long time to wind it up. So if he gets the protection, you know, he can be effective. And he had a nice, pretty pass, a long deep ball to Nate Washington in that game.
That
but
was cool.
The Steelers want to still go with Ben Roethlisberger. The MRI came back favorable on his shoulder. They're going to rest him the rest of this week. He might see limited action in practice, and they hope that he's still going to be able to start. But if he doesn't, they'll stick in Leftwich, and I'm not quite sure that they lose too much there.
That's what I meant. You know, it sounds very similar.
Yeah, he's been playing injured most of the season.
Yeah.
All right, one more question before we get to our clicks and flicks. What's going on with the running back situation in Kansas City? Is Larry Johnson pretty much just done for the season?
Yes.
No, he's not. In fact, I've had some subscribers email me, ask this question. I've got Larry Johnson, and he's been worthless, and yes, because he's not been playing. But the simple fact is that Herman Edwards realizes now, with Kobe Smith gone for the year with a knee injury, and rookie Jamal Charles not quite experienced enough and big enough and tough enough, I think, to carry more than 20 times a game, that they need Larry Johnson on the team. Now, obviously, he's suspended this week. But I think that next week, Larry Johnson's already apologized to the team. If he really means it and he comes back with the right attitude, then I think you're probably going to see Larry Johnson actually maybe start in 2 weeks. At the very least, I think you're going to see an RBBC committee with Johnson and Charles. And you're probably going to end up seeing that down the road anyway. But I think there is a good chance that Larry Johnson could see the majority of the carries in a couple of weeks, if he returns to the team and has his head straight and stays away from the nightclubs and the women that don't seem to like him.
I didn't know that there was women who did like him. And I didn't know that there was a nightclub that he could stay away from. That's the problem. I mean, they're going to have to get the Dallas security detail that, you know, that they had on
Pac-Man
Adam
Jones.
Guy, right? Yeah. They're going to have to
turn that guard and chase him down.
And just watch him like you would, like a hawk, and say, stay away from any woman.
All right. There you go. So let's
guys, before we move to the picks and clicks, there isn't one other quarterback I want to talk about, and I think it maybe it's in the category of what's going on here. It's really Chicago Bears.
Oh,
Lovie Smith doesn't want to talk about the injury to Kyle Orton. And Orton went in front of the media yesterday, and actually it was today, Tuesday, and he basically said that, well, guys, I feel a lot better now. It hurts like a heck, and it's sore, but the ankle has not been diagnosed as a high ankle sprain. The initial report says he's going to be gone for 4 weeks, but he's going to take it easy the rest of this week, and then maybe attempt to try and practice maybe Friday. I don't think he's going to play this week, but I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back in 2 or 3 weeks. They don't want to rush him, but you know, if he heals a little bit faster than they think,
they need
him. Rex Grossman is very inconsistent, and this is somebody I'm telling people to kind of avoid if you can. The defenses are going to like sexy Rex.
Sorry about the Bears, Owen, over in you.
That's okay. But the bottom line here is that Orton is probably not going to play this week. He may return in a week or two. It doesn't look like it's going to be a 4 week injury.
Okay, cool.
Oh man,
I think it's time for.
Yeah, because we're just avoiding the Oakland Raiders altogether. All right,
why talk about them?
It's time for the clicks and plicks. Naz, we're gonna let you go first, man, because we haven't done it in a while. So give us your click at the quarterback position.
Okay. Well, speaking of Oakland, I know that D'Angelo Hall's not there anymore, but they got an inexperienced corner that's coming in to replace him. In fact, they haven't quite settled on exactly one person yet. They don't throw to the other side, which is, I can't even remember, how do you say the guy's name, Oshima?
Nwosi Aswanda.
Oh,
wow.
Very good. Okay.
That must be completely
that
drunk.
Amazing,
that
Steven.
Just rolled right
That's
off
what
the
it
tongue.
Sounds like. You got to be
that
drunk.
That guy is
to
so good.
That.
He's only been thrown on 9 times all season, and this is the reason why Roddy White only had 2 catches.
Is it that he's so good or that D'Angelo Hall was so bad everybody was throwing at D'Angelo?
Yeah, you're right. It was kind of a combination of both. They're like, well, why should we pick on the Pro Bowler here when we can get a sure thing with D'Angelo Hall? And D'Angelo Hall is the one that gave up the 2 scores to Michael Jenkins.
Now,
so if D'Angelo Hall was playing this week, Mushin Muhammad would be a surefire bet to score at least once, if not twice. Now, he still may score this week because I still like the Panthers' offense and Jake Delhomme, and that's my click for this week. I think he's going to throw a couple of scores, 1 Steve Smith. I think Steve Smith's going to beat Mr. What's-his-name there. And I think the motion is going to catch the other one, and I think you're going to see at least 2 scores this week. And the Panthers are on a roll, and that's my click this week.
Okay, I'm going to take a crack at the name here. Nnamdi Ashimogwu. How'd I do?
That's not right.
Well, I like the first name, Art. I don't know about the second, the last name. It kind of
Nnamdi Ashimogwu. I think I'm on the right track there.
No,
I've never heard anyone say it other than you guys, so I'll take your word for it.
That's because announcers go to great lengths to not say it, and even though the NFL puts out an enunciation guide,
yes,
that doesn't mean that those announcers are.
We should probably get the.
I guess I didn't get that copy of that guide.
Oh, that's a secret.
All right, Jeffrey, who are you clicking at the quarterback position?
Well, what's ironic is, as Naz and I have teased in emails today, I actually am going to be flicking Jake here, but I've got reasons. I've got reasons, which we'll get to.
Okay.
But I'm clicking for sure. San Francisco, Sean Hill. Arizona's pass defense, they love giving up points to quarterbacks. And so I think that this is one of those weeks where this is somebody that's available, as all my clicks are. They're available in a lot of places, and they should get you through the final bye week if you find yourself in a jam. So go out there and grab Sean Hill, and he should be able to get you 14 or so.
All right. That is good information. Time for my quarterback clickage. And I'm going on a limb, not a big limb, but a little limb. And I'm going to say click David Garrard, quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He needs to break out. And this week he gets the Lions defense that is just bad against the pass. It's time for him to rebound. I think he'll do it in this game against the Lions.
Well, at least he gets Matt Jones for another week. I don't know what's going on there with his 3-game suspension that was supposed to be rumored like 3 weeks ago, but Tuesday came and went, and that's normally the week that they announce the suspensions, and it's still under appeal here, so I guess we get another week. And Mike Walker's supposed to come back, too. So, I mean, everything's set for David Garrard. I have my doubts about him, too. He's just not playing. It just doesn't look right, especially last week, but hopefully he can rebound.
Do you realize that David Garrard is not even in the top 30 of quarterback scoring?
Wow.
That is
amazing. Well, that surprised me. I mean, that team lost to Cincinnati last week.
That is amazing. I was trying to figure out how big a limb you're going out on, Steven.
It's a limb.
It's a big old limb.
But I expect it's the Lions.
Wait a minute. I'm filtering here. Let me get down here.
Remember, the Lions start 21-0.
There he is. I found him. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. He's the 18th quarterback.
18th. I thought he was still in the top 20.
Yeah,
but not
I thought
by
he
much.
Had to be. But yeah, he's got 99 points on Espen scoring. But from there, you go down to Matt Ryan's and Jake DeLome's and Drex and the other nightmares of the league. So that is a limb. That is a limb, Steven. Congratulations. I hope it all works out for you.
All right. Well, then let's head on over to the running back, and we'll start with you, Jeff.
All righty. On the running back, let's see here. I've got all of ours today because we did them in an email thread. And so I got to make sure I'm actually looking at mine. And don't misquote somebody else. I've got Tim Hightower, Arizona, available in 1 of 4 leagues.
Hightower.
Hello, Tower.
Yes.
And that is, he is very high, by the way, very tall. He's the man in Zona now, and the Niners are giving up 26 points per game to running backs. And in Arizona, no matter what they say about RBBC, James is pretty much just... The only bad scenario here could be that for some reason that the coaching staff decides to give him goal line carries, Edgerrin James, just to appease him.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. Hightower started out as
that
the
was
goal
his
line
job, right? And he just took the job.
And
as
we'll get to my flicks, Edgerrin James is a flick.
Yeah, I teased you, Steven, today about that. I said, it's an obvious
one. That's an easy one.
Well, it's an obvious pick to us because we're in the know. Maybe there might be some people out there who don't know, and they're going to say, I'm going to play Edgerrin James. Don't do it anymore.
If you know what you're talking about, go out there. And, again, in 1 of 4 leagues, that's a lot. He's only owned 75%.
That's amazing. I can't believe that.
It is.
That must be including, is that including like 8-man leagues or 6-man leagues or something? I don't understand where you'd be available.
I don't know.
Right. Well, I am clicking at the running back position, running back D'Angelo Williams of the Carolina Panthers. This week he gets to go against the Raiders. And yeah, we just said the Raiders are bad. They're ranked 30th against the rush. And D'Angelo Williams should have a heyday against those Raiders running the ball.
Beautiful thing. He's already up to, he's at 82 points already.
Yeah. Nez.
He's coming off a 12-point and a 17-point week.
Yes.
That is, his legs are ready. And a bye. He's coming off a bye.
I expect a 20s.
Fresh legs. My goodness. He hit 30 when he went against Kansas City. Yep. So that's a great start.
Nez, who you got at the running back position?
Well, this is my auto click for the week, and that's Jamal Lewis of Cleveland against the Broncos. Obvious reasons, we've already talked about this. The Broncos can't stop anybody via the run or the pass, so it doesn't matter whether Jamal Lewis is going to be running up the gut around the end or catching passes. He's going to produce big yardage and probably 2 scores this week. So,
well, he's every other week guy, and this is the other week.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know that about Jamal, don't you? You go 14 points, no points, 14 points, 9 points, 14 points, 5 points.
I've got Michael Turner. Turner's done that the entire year, too. Up, down, up, down.
But, no, this is so
I know
consistent.
Last week was a bad week for Jamal Lewis. In fact, I think it was my caution play last week.
But this is his 14-point week.
He's Mike Like.
But this is his 14-point week. Every other week is 14 points.
Is good.
And 14 is great.
I think he'll have more, though.
Well, okay. Good luck. Hope that works out great for you.
All right. Moving to the wide receiver position, I will start with this one. And I want to say Kansas City Chief wide receiver Dwayne Bowe is my click of the week. He's going up against the San Diego Chargers, which, believe it or not, dead last against the pass on their defense, can be thrown upon.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, you're exactly right there. They suck.
How the hell is that possible?
And I think Bo is going to benefit from that, regardless of who's out there throwing the ball for the Kansas City Chiefs. Dwayne Bo will benefit. I see him getting close to 100 yards and getting in the end zone at least one time.
I think Yancey's upset with our jokes about him, so he's starting to play like a real NFL quarterback. I have to give him credit on that. I think it's a spread offense that they're running.
What did Pigpen pick off a nice ball in the end zone,
he
though?
He sure did.
That was a little over-the-shoulder catch. That was nice.
He ran a great route. Oh, wait, wide receiver, who you got, Naz?
I got Bernard Berrian. I'm calling him an auto-robo-click because the guy's, like, scored, I don't know, three weeks in a row, I think. And they're playing at home against Green Bay. Green Bay's kind of giving some trouble. I don't think Berrian did much the first week of the season against them on the road at Green Bay. But
he
I think he's
going
to catch a long one this week and just get him in your lineup.
Yes.
3 points that first time, but my gosh.
Vikings.
The last few weeks he's been putting up consistently over 14 points.
This is payback weekend
for the
Vikings.
Into him.
Yeah.
Payback weekend. Jeffrey, who you got at the
it's
wide receiver?
It's beautiful at the wide receiver position. I got me clicking. That's Dwayne Bowe. That was you.
That's me.
I got my man. I got the man.
Who's the man?
I called him out in London last year. Greg Camarillo, Miami Dolphins. He's the savior. He's the guy who kept them from having a winless season. Available
right,
in two out of three
didn't he
leagues.
Catch 11 passes last week?
He's available in two out of three leagues. And PPR or not, he's going to have a monster week because, again, whom they're playing, the Seahawks are giving up over 23 points a game to wide receivers. And he is the favored target.
Yeah, Seattle has been.
And if you're in a PPR league, this is as no-brainer as it gets. I got him in a couple of mine, and he gets 24 points every week. Yeah. It's awesome. Ah, it's beautiful. Beautiful thing, man. 11 catches. How do you do that?
Greg Camarillo. Look
Greg
pretty
Camarillo.
All right, here you go, Steven.
I already said Dwayne Bowe. We're moving on to tight ends.
That's right.
And it's right back to you. Tight ends.
Kevin Boss scored 2 weeks in a row. They're playing the hated Eagles. He's going to have to be used in the red zone there. He made a nice catch over the shoulder, got his body in the end zone against who did they beat last week?
just some team.
They beat a bunch of scrubs.
Anyway, Kevin Boss is going to score.
Let's see how they do in 4 weeks when they play a real team, okay?
I want to see Tony Romo play as good as, you know, Bob. I'd love to see a 42-38 Giants victory because I got Romo in the auto leagues myself.
Yeah.
All right, boys, break it up.
See how it happens when they
break
play a real
up.
Team.
Break it up.
Okay, tight end, Jeffrey. We'll break it up. You tell us.
All right, at tight end, I've got Billy Miller, New Orleans, available in 9 of 10 leagues. Everyone says, oh, with Shockey back, you know, Billy Miller is not going to be relevant anymore. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. That's just not the way Drew Brees plays ball. He just loves to get everybody balls all the time. And
yeah, they're spreading it around.
They spread it around.
Still a good play.
And he is available in more leagues than just about anywhere else. And Atlanta gives up good points at the tight end. They're definitely one of the more generous teams for tight ends. And Breeze is still looking his way. So don't
and guess over... what, guys? In one league, I have Witten on a bye and injured, of course. I picked up Billy Miller, and I'm going to start him. So we'll
there
see what
go.
Happens.
All right.
I'm riding him right this week.
All right. Well, at the tight end position, I've got Bo Scaife of the Tennessee Titans.
Love Bo.
Kerry Collins is going to rely on Bo and the Reds in here against the Bears. Dub Bears. And I expect Scaife to have around 50, 60 yards and get in the end zone one time. So we'll see if that comes through.
Yeah, it'd be nice. He hasn't had above 4 points
time to
since
break out.
Week five.
Time
he
to
is
break
due.
Out for Bo.
Very
yeah,
due.
Yeah, I tell you, you know what's wrong there is that Kerry Collins needs to get the ball in the end zone. He hasn't thrown a touchdown since week five.
Exactly.
So,
I like to
in PPR leagues, but, yeah, he's not scored in a while.
Yeah, no, he's catching 4 or 5 balls a game. That's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, in the non-PPR leagues.
So those were all our clicks. It's time to flick, people. And
uh-oh.
We'll start, Jeffrey, with you. Flick a quarterback.
Well, I got to play the sound first of this.
Yeah, play the sound.
Going to the bench.
Going to the bench.
Sit him.
Going to the bench.
And sitting on my guys, Jake Delhomme, as I said, I promised.
Yeah.
Now, they're playing
now
such.
You got to explain this because
I
you
am.
Are challenging the master himself.
I know. I know what I'm doing.
Okay, all right.
I just want Naz to consider
this. Go ahead.
This.
Give the reasons, Jeff.
Oakland is such a bad team that all you do is you run the ball, and he won't have any reason to throw the ball.
Matt Ryan threw 2 touchdowns last week against him, right? Yeah.
I'm just saying is all.
I'm not. No, you don't get an is all. You can't.
I said what I said.
You can't. D'Angelo Hall, right? So whoever they plug in there is going to shut them down, right? There you go.
You can't give yourself your own is all, well, and you don't get one for. I'm gonna have to agree with Naz on this one.
I'm
just because you run the ball a whole bunch doesn't mean you're not gonna throw it at all.
Now look, if the three of us all wind up here together a week from now, I will do the accountability segment and I will take my medicine
like
a man.
You're gonna take medicine.
My medicine like a man. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not afraid.
All right.
I like being controversial wherever possible.
There it is. So I just wanted to get that out of him. He's being controversial.
I honestly believe that he will be under 9-10 points, and that's completely unacceptable.
You know, not even trying, you're going to score 10 points against the Raiders.
Yeah, your running backs will, because they're the ones going to be carrying the load.
All right, I'm flicking quarterback Seneca Wallace. The Dolphins, who he's going up against, have made the Bills' Trent Edwards and the Broncos' Jay Cutler look bad on back-to-back weeks. They're going to make Wallace look even worse. No way he performs well against the Dolphins. Sit Seneca Wallace.
Which
don't
Dolphin
think about
song
that.
Do you want? Do you want Flip or Dolphins?
I don't
make
want
me
any
cry.
Dolphin song.
No.
I just think the Dolphins are going to take care of
Not
Seneca
even
Wallace.
No. No Flipper?
No Flipper
okay,
at all.
Okay, man.
I think the Dolphins will take care of Seneca Wallace, so don't start him if you've got him. And you shouldn't even have him. So there you go.
Michael?
Naz, there you go.
Okay, well, I'm going to take the track of that Jeff has done here, and I'm each week on my flicks, I'm going to try and choose somebody that's not quite an obvious one, somebody
Good.
That usually might actually be started most weeks by people out there. And this week, I think that Trent Edwards and Buffalo's just not playing well.
Absolutely.
They lost the last couple of games. They blew it against the Jets. Edwards wasn't hitting his main target, Lee Evans, very much in that game. And they're playing on the road at New England. And New England, for some reason this year, they play really good defense on the road in big game. I mean, at home in big games. They really shut down Denver a couple of weeks ago. And I just think that they're just going into a situation here where New England's coming off the loss. And this is the game for first place in that division. They're tied with the Jets. So I think that New England's basically going to shut down Trent Edwards, sack him, and pick him off a couple times. And I think Trent Edwards would be lucky to throw one TD pass in this game. Probably not. And I just look to another option to start instead of Edwards.
Yeah, and he's been fumbling on consistent weeks.
Getting hit in the backfield and fumbling the ball, and that's not good. And
I may have to disagree with both of your flicks at the quarterback position this week.
Well, I mean, disagreeing with mine is fine, but disagreeing with Naz, I think, is smart because, look, against Miami, he should have gone nuts, and he only got 6 points.
Yeah,
against
but
the Jets, he got 9 points, and now he's going against New England?
I think the Bills recognize what has been going on the offensive side of the ball, and I think that New England's secondary is struggling. They've struggled all season, and, yeah, they've played tight at home, but they may struggle in this game. They may have a hard time.
And I know you think that you're going with one of the more obvious ones or less obvious ones there, but, I mean, Trent Edwards is only, I think he's like 18th or 20th in quarterbacks. So, I mean,
he's starting
David Garrard of 2008, okay? David Garrard last year was throwing up 250 and a score or two every week, and that's what Trent Edwards was doing for a while. In the last couple of games, he's just not looked good. So,
yeah, he's being started in about 68-75% of the leagues out there.
25th, though, I just counted.
Yeah.
He's 25th in scoring in fantasy football.
See, I think you have to look at the scoring system on that.
I just pull up what they got.
All right, let's move to running backs, and Naz, we'll go to you. Who are you sitting this week?
Now, this is my caution play of the week. Steve Slayton, Houston, love him and all, but he's playing the Ravens. nobody runs for anything on the Ravens. He'll be lucky to get 50 yards. He may catch 4, 5, 6 passes for 30, 40 yards. So if you were in a PPR league, he's still, you know, I'd say a top 20 play. But, you know, don't expect touchdowns. Don't expect big game yardage out of Steve Slayton. So if you've got, you know, two better options and you start two running backs, then you want to sit Steve Slayton. He's definitely a caution play this week.
Warning.
There you go, Jeffrey.
There you go. I like that.
Who are you warning?
I'm warning people away from Joseph Addai. I like to sit those big names. You do not run on Steel Curtain 2.0. That's what I'm calling this Pittsburgh Steelers defense. You do not run on them. Despite being healthy with his hammy, Joseph Addai is not getting it done, and Steel Curtain 2.0 will shut them down.
All right.
By the way, guys, looking back here on my scoring system, Trent Edwards is ranked number 18. So it's a little bit better.
And then 25, it's not a top 12. And if you're talking about 12, then, you
know. No, he's not a top 12. I mean, first of all, this is a bye week. So, you know, some
that's
of these
true.
People have quarterbacks on bye.
Good
so
point.
They maybe have Trent Edwards and Tony Romo. So you're going to be playing Trent Edwards every week. So
good point. Point well taken.
I'm sitting.
No one's got any comment about the Steel Curtain 2.0?
No. I think it's a little early to call him that.
Oh, well.
My pick may be obvious to some folks, but I believe there's some folks out there who actually come to us for this kind of information. Edgerrin James probably is not even going to see the field this week. If he does, it's going to be for a handful of carries. Not nothing that is going to warrant a start. I know you may love Edgerrin James, but not this week and probably not for the rest of the season. So you won't hear his name from me anymore.
Who loves Edgerrin James?
Hightower is going to be replacing him as the starter, and Edgerrin James is just no longer a valued running
he
option.
Failed to
what,
get.
What is the sharp edge now? The dull corner, or what?
Yeah, the edge has
what,
now
what's
become.
His nickname?
He's become the edge has become the broken cliff. I don't know.
He's become a paved road.
He's not edgy anymore. He's just.
Did I make it clear that your job is at stake?
Yeah,
it has been lost.
Yeah, he did just. It's not good for. You know what? I just think he just got a boatload of money.
I
and
know he
said,
did.
You know, I don't want to hurt myself. I'm just gonna.
How do you enjoy money if you're dead?
You know, his long run was 27 yards since he's become a Cardinal, and he's only had four runs of more than 20. What is that? 3 years?
Three. Well, two and a half seasons.
Two and a half seasons there. Four runs of 20 yards. That's
I
it.
Have never heard that.
Yeah.
That is disgusting. Tim
Hightower had a 30-yard touchdown run last week against the Rams.
Sick. That is complete. That makes me angry.
James may no longer be on the team next year. Anyways.
They'll be better off for it because that's a team.
They were calling him, 4 yards in a cloud of dust?
Yeah.
Is that what he was doing?
Right now he's about 2.5 yards in a cloud of dust.
With a hi-ho silver.
All right, Naz. Naz, did you give us your running back? Yes, Steve Slayton, you said.
Yeah, Steve Slayton.
And Jeff had Joseph
Addai.
So I'm going to go with a wide receiver. And it's not that I'm picking on the Arizona Cardinals, but wide receiver Steve Breston, with Anquan Boldin back, Breston is just not putting any kind of consistent numbers up there, and he's not worth a fantasy start. So Steve Breston is my wide receiver flick.
I think the only way that Breston sees a lot of targets again in a high-scoring game, you know, the Cardinals fall behind, and I just don't see that happening against the 49ers.
Not against San Francisco.
Yeah, exactly.
No, absolutely.
That's just the point. If they are in a game where they trail – Breston becomes very, very relevant, but not
going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Naz, you're a wide receiver that's going to the bench.
Okay, well, this is another one that a lot of people have, and most people will probably start him every week or almost every week. DeSean Jackson, a rookie out of Philadelphia. Kevin Curtis is healthy now. He's come back from the sports hernia. He got the most targets last week, 11. He's clearly the number one now. I know Reggie Brown's still beat up, and so Jackson's still starting, but they've got other receivers in there. And then they had Brent Celek come off the bench last week and catch 6 passes for over 100 yards. L.J. Smith's going to be healthy and playing this week. And, of course, they're playing my Giants, and my Giants don't allow anyone to burn the big time. So you sit DeSean Jackson if you have better options.
They're not quite Seattle where he got 2 points.
Yeah.
Giants are a little bit better. I got at the wideout position. You sitting, again, going for the controversy. Hines Ward.
War.
Brutal matchup against Indy. And a big question with Roethlisberger still. And I know there's not a huge fall off with Byron Leftwich, but there's a reason that Roethlisberger starts over him. Okay? You are taking a step down in your quarterbacking core when you go
to... Yeah, the Colts have a pretty good pass defense too, right?
Yes, they do. That's one of the things that they do well. And there's not that many these days. Yes. So, again, I'm warning you away from Hines Ward, and you will thank me.
All right. Then let's end it up with the tight end position.
I ain't get started on tight end. I'm on a roll, man.
Tight end.
John Carlson of Seattle. You think, why on earth would you ever sit someone in Seattle? Well, he is the number 13 tight end out there, by the way, as far as points. So he is somebody that you should have possibly on your roster. But Miami, they allow 2.5 points per game to tight ends.
Yeah.
They have that underneath stuff just covered and shut down completely. So John Carlson will not be seeing a lot of balls.
All right. Naz, what about your tight end?
Okay, we're going to look at category and rankings here. Then I've got the number 11 tight end, Zach Miller out of Oakland. Boy, 31 yards passing, 31 from Jamarcus Russell for the entire game last week. All I got to say is sit him. I mean, he'll be even lucky to catch one or two passes this week and do anything. It's just going to be ugly.
You know, that deserves a hee-haw, but I can't even find it. Hee-haw.
All right. Well, I'm the final flick of the week for week 10, which I can't believe. Finally, saying goodbye to bye-byes, because no more byes after this week.
Thank goodness.
But I'm saying flick tight end Dustin Keller of the New York Jets. I believe that it's possible that Brett Favre has lost faith in Keller. Keller and him, just after the first week, have not really been in sync. Keller's not where he's supposed to be most of the times, so Brett winds up overthrowing him or underthrowing him.
I don't think that that's Brett's decision to make, but I think you're right in the fact that I don't think he's been running his routes right or whatever. We've been seeing more of Chris Baker on the field.
Exactly.
It's just not including Keller in the passing game.
Yeah, I don't think that it's Favre's decision to make whether he's on the field or not. I just think that when he does get on the field, Favre's lost faith that he's not even looking his way anymore, and he's not getting the looks, and he's not an integral part of the offense as he was early in the season. So,
well, he's certainly not getting open. I remember a couple of those touchdown catches, especially one against the Cardinals. There was nobody around him. So, right. Yeah, if he's having trouble getting open or running his routes, then, yeah, definitely Favre won't look at him.
So if you're relying on the points that he got you early in the season,
now don't
anymore.
I mean, no one's threatening him for his position, but they seem to be just happy with him blocking.
Yeah.
Yep. Right,
or being a decoy.
So there you go, guys. It's week 10 already. I mean,
virtually everyone has played 8 games.
Yeah.
Virtually everyone. Well, and after this week,
everyone has played 8 games.
No, there's one team.
No, everyone
seven.
Has played 8 games. The 4 that are on a bye this week have played 9. So after this week, everybody will have played 9 games.
Well,
yeah,
I like
right.
it.
I believe that's right.
Then
yeah.
we'd lose the I don't have to go to the points per
yes,
game
exactly.
average.
Now
and we just go to total points.
Total points. Everyone has played 9
And then
games.
I have to write 4 more team capsules every darn week. And rank about another 20 players, 20 or 30 players, I guess, across the board. At least, 4 more quarterbacks?
Yeah,
and,
4 more.
10 more running backs and 15 more wide receivers. And
But, Naz, we appreciate what you do, and we appreciate you taking the time out to come on the show.
We
once
know how
again,
busy you are.
Mike Nazarek, Fantasy Football Mastermind. Check him out at www.ffmastermind.com. Mike, great stuff once again. I am looking forward to seeing how the flicks go next week.
Okay.
Let's keep
you ready
track
for this?
Of Jake Stallone here. Remember that.
Are you ready? Are you ready for this? My flicks will give you no more than 8 points between all 4 of them.
Whoa.
There you go. That's a strong prediction.
Steven's
right.
smacking us already.
Oh, man, there you go. I'm going to eat a lot of crow, possibly. but that's all the time we have. Once again, from Henderson, Nevada, we'd like to thank Mike Nazarek, Fantasy Football Mastermind. For Jeff and myself, this has been Fantasy Football Rants and Raves.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, folks. Good night, Naz.